Good evening. Welcome to Youth Beat Radio here on 98.3 and 102.1 FM. I'm Nishant Mikija. It's a pleasure to have you with us tonight on this Monday evening. The time is 7:30 p.m. Tonight on Youth Beat Radio, we talk with Lucas McClish, the president of Students for a Sustainable Campus. He talks about the latest environmental initiatives his group is working on. Later, we take a look at a school levy campaign in Upper Arlington. It's been a competitive race, and we talk to both sides of the campaign. But first, this break. And welcome back. You're listening to Youth Beat Radio here on 98.3 and 102.1 FM. It's a pleasure to have you with us again tonight. I had a conversation with Lucas McClish on environmental issues and the Environmental Club at The Ohio State University. Let's get started with our conversation tonight with Lucas McClish. And I'd like to welcome Lucas McClish, the president for Students for a Sustainable Campus at The Ohio State University. Welcome, Lucas. Thank you for being with us tonight.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So, Lucas, tell me a little bit about your club here at Ohio State.
So, Students for a Sustainable Campus is an environmental activism group along that is at OSU. So our main goal of our club is to promote environmental awareness about current issues and while also working goals towards fixing some of these issues or doing what we can to reduce the emissions of our campus overall.
What would be these current issues currently you're working on?
So some of the current issues we're working on is, one is there's a large amount of waste coming from the coffee centers around campus. So our main goal for this year is to reduce that by giving students reusable coffee mugs, which they will then take to the campus coffee shops and fill those up rather than getting a throwaway cup every single time.
So what your goal is, you're trying to work on the coffee shops here on campus mostly?
That's currently one of our main projects. Other ones include things such as Olentangy River cleanups or other projects such as working on rain gardens is one of the other ones that we're getting into. So anything that's really going to promote sustainability in the campus.
And how has it gone so far here on campus?
So far it's gone well. It's definitely been interesting. I recently became president this year, so really just learning how to truly promote events and how to keep people interested and make sustainability cool.
Can you tell me a little bit about what you mean by sustainability? Because I think that a lot of people don't understand what this word means. Can you tell me a little bit about why you guys use this word?
Sure. So sustainability, I can't exactly give you a textbook definition right as of now,
sure,
but I'll do my best. So sustainability is going to be obviously sustain, which means to keep going, to carry on, to keep something going, I guess. So by sustainability, we mean rather than being wasteful, keeping something, say throw it away, maybe sustain that, or say you could think of it almost if you take the earth for example, if we're sustaining the earth, we would have to do these practices to keep it healthy. So rather than not sustaining it by throwing it away, by doing non-environmentally healthy practices, that would not be sustaining. So sustainability is essentially keeping things in their state, I guess, and using them for longer than a person normally would.
Okay, and can you tell our listeners about why this is important to you? What made you decide to become president of this organization, and why is it important to have this organization here at Ohio State?
That's a good question. So sustainability and environmentalism hasn't always affected me. Through high school, I didn't think a whole lot about, say, major topics such as natural gas or recycling or things such as that. But as I got more to high school and became more aware of what's going on in the world and more educated on topics as environmentalism, I became to realize more of the issues with the world and really paying attention to what's going on and seeing the changes that really are happening that people only spoke of or say that wouldn't actually happen, that scientists are just crazy, and studies have actually proven more and more each year that these things are happening, and I've actually seen impacts of said actions. So I knew that rather than sitting by, I could wait for somebody else to take care of it, or I could do my part and see what I can do actually about making things happen.
And what progress have you seen since your organization has been here on campus?
So far, our main projects was the Olentangy River cleanup, which you can see an impact, though maybe not as evident, it's still pretty trashy, but picking up trash along there and just seeing instant impact. But I'm hoping more in the long term as we get things started, such as this coffee mug initiative, and we, over time, will reduce the waste that people use or overall enact things that are going to, over time, improve, which it might not be apparent right away, but over time, I'd like to see an impact.
What waste are people reducing by taking their own coffee mug to a coffee shop to get coffee instead of using that there? Because I don't think many people understand the importance of maybe taking their own coffee shop. I know that when I go, I usually don't realize that sometimes. So I'm curious, how does that make a difference in someone's life?
So how it makes a difference in their life is an interesting way to look at it. They may not see an impact, I'd say, personally, but it's more collectively. If one person uses a mug rather than gets a coffee mug each time they go, then it's not going to make a whole lot of difference, but it's going to take a collective effort to really see an impact. Well, one benefit that they do offer around here for it is that if you do bring in your own, you'll actually get the size, pay the price of a small, and they'll fill up your mug all the way. So that's an incentive to encourage people to do this. So overall, whenever you get a coffee mug, say you get coffee, or not even coffee, say a frappe, three times a day, that's going to be three different cups that you use and throw away. Some are recyclable, and some people do recycle, which is better, but still not as good as reusing, where the sustainability comes in and sustaining that product. So not only does it cost less for them, because the producer then does not have to give them a mug and buy mugs to give to them, but also it's going to, they'll be able to carry it around easier, it won't spill as easy, and they're going to overall reduce what goes into our landfill.
And how are you guys getting this message out? I mean, are you guys going to coffee shops in order to make this happen, or do you have a media campaign going on or advertising campaign across campus? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure, yeah. So I'm not sure if everyone is aware of Crimson Cup or has heard of them, but they are the coffee supplier for Ohio State campus. They have their main headquarters in Columbus. We've been working with them and talking with them, and they've been really cooperative with us and want to help supply these coffee mugs to us, help supply coffee to put in them, and all around help promote the event. By promoting the event, we will probably go around to coffee shops. We'll post signs around campus. We will talk on radio shows, whatever we can do to get the word out.
Great. And tell me a little bit about how someone can be inspired to do this if they are interested in doing what you guys are doing today.
I guess that means by inspiration.
Well, I guess I would like to know, like, how, if they are interested in continuing what you guys are doing, how do they get involved with continuing to spread your message across campus?
Mm-hmm. So our message in general, they can attend our meetings. We meet at 6 p.m. in Campbell Hall, room 209. To spread the message of just environmentalism, they just have to get out there. There's plenty of clubs around campus. We have, I believe, 20 to 30 sustainability clubs that they can join around campus. And Columbus itself is starting many initiatives for environmentalism and sustainability, such as a bike share program around campus, and things like that.
You said there's 20 to 30 across campus, different groups?
That's correct.
So you are in charge of one of them on campus then?
Yeah. So there's different groups, kind of different goals, such as there's Friends of the Lower Olentangy Watershed, FLO, who works a lot with the Olentangy River and projects relating to that. There's Students for Recycling, which focuses more on the recycling sector of it. There's Net Impact and different groups, all kind of oriented towards a specific direction, but they are able, I guess, to vary in what they do. But that's what I really like about our club is we're Students for a Sustainable Campus, so we're not specifically focused on recycling and things such as that. So we really have a broad range of areas where we can help out.
And Lucas, I know earlier we talked a little bit about why this is important to make happen. I'd like to also understand someone that really does not understand recycling altogether, or someone that doesn't understand environmental issues or climate change. What difference? I guess I think a lot of people feel like recycling, well, I'm just going to throw it away and it's not going to do anything to me later. I'm just going to use a piece of paper. I'm going to throw that away. You know, in San Francisco, they recycle quite a bit more than it is here. And we don't even have that here. I guess your average person out there that doesn't know anything about this is wondering, Why do we need to do all this? Is it true? How is it true? How do we know that this is actually happening out there? What would you say to them?
What would I say to them? Well, personally, I understand where they're coming from because I was at that same point. And they say ignorance is bliss, but also knowledge is power. So you can ignore the problems and say they'll go away or you don't need to pay attention. But eventually, I believe we will face the repercussions, and they're already happening at this time. So the best advice I can give them is really just research, use the resources you have around you to find out and educate yourselves and truly find out what you can do and how your actions are making an impact.
And can you tell me a little bit, for our average listener, maybe you might not be able to answer this for me, but can you tell me a little bit about what the research is showing if we continue to not sustain our what we're, you know, everyday life, what our products. Can you tell me a little bit about that by any chance?
Let me pull up my knowledge from my classes these past couple years. So one big issue that comes to mind as of now is the melting of the ice caps. So there's, if you look at a picture from, say, 30 years ago, 50 years ago of glaciers, you can see a monumental difference. Ones are non-existent where there once were all year round. There's parts of Alaska that once would freeze up all the way, and permafrost, which now are no longer. The main issue with this is as ice caps melt, they hold 90% of the world's fresh water, which then is going to increase the ocean's water levels and rise them. And if it continues, it will then go over top of coastal towns such as New York or places that, which sounds very radical and very extreme, which I completely understand. But what's happening is also the ice caps reflect light because they're white and there's no surface. And as they begin to melt, there's less to reflect light, which then causes more heat to be absorbed by the Earth and also causes the Earth to heat up. So that is one major issue, and it's just one among many that I can recall.
I'm really excited to see what your group has been doing on campus and throughout the community. And I hope that maybe more people can get involved with what you guys are doing. So thank you so much, Lucas, for coming by. I really appreciate it.
Definitely. Great. Thank you for having me out. I had an awesome time.
Thanks. Take care. Thank you so much, Lucas, for stopping by. And remember to take your mug next time you go to a coffee shop instead of using paper that they provide you at a coffee shop. And up next, a local Central Ohio community is trying to pass a school levy. But this levy comes with both sides trying to get your vote. We'll have that story coming up next, right after this. Tonight, we are taking a look at a local Central Ohio school district trying to pass a school levy. This levy comes with opposition, But tonight, we get both sides trying to pass this school levy in Upper Arlington. YouthBeat Radio student producers Joe Casagrande, Wyatt Ledman, Doug Bannon, and Kushagra Mahaseth report tonight on this school levy.
This year might not be significant in terms of election for the nation, the state of Ohio, or neighboring school districts, but for Upper Arlington, the election on November 5th might be the most important election in recent times. On November 5th, among other things, Issue 52, the district's levy is on the ballot. The district's website describes Issue 52 as the following. Issue 52 is a $4 million continuing operating levy that will appear on November 5th, 2013 ballot. The levy will generate approximately $6 million per year for Upper Arlington schools. It will cost homeowners approximately $140 a year for every $100,000 of home valuation.
This is the second time in the last 2 years that the school district has put a levy on the ballot. It put a levy on the ballot last year, which failed. After the levy's failure, the Board of Education instituted cuts that began with the 2013-2014 school year.
These cuts included the elimination of more than 30 teaching and other staff positions, the reduction of building and department budgets, and the elimination of some academic programming. The district also increased pay-to-participate fees for extracurricular activities. This came as a shock to many students and residents of UA.
I was surprised by it.
And the effects of these cuts are being noticed by students.
I have noticed changes because my classes are bigger and teachers can't give you as much one-on-one time that you should deserve.
Yeah, there's a lot less teachers and a lot less classes are offered.
Well, I noticed some of the teachers that I saw last year have been, like, I guess fired. And I liked some of those teachers, but...
But this year, the stakes are even higher. If the levy does not pass, then the district will cut $6 million from the budget over the next 2 years. These cuts would include the elimination of 68.5 positions and would cut over $1 million from extracurricular activities. The district superintendent, Paul Imhoff, talks about why the district needs the money from the levy.
The way school funding in Ohio works, school districts need to come back to voters every 3, 4, or 5 years and ask for school levies just in order to maintain current programs. That's how the school funding system has worked in Ohio since the late 1970s.
Like last year, there is a group named Citizens for UA Schools that is working to ensure that the levy passes. There is also a group named Educate UA that is working to ensure that the levy does not pass.
We talked to Joyce Blake, treasurer of Educate UA, who explains why the group is opposing the levy this year.
We really felt that there was a real problem with wages, and the main thing, 85% of the budget being wages and benefits, and there was a real unsustainable growth going on there, that something really needed to be done.
Additionally, she says,
there's no correlation whatsoever between the more you pay your staff, the better your results will be. In fact, you know, we're sort of paying the best, and we're down here at 25th. And so people are still here, and they're still getting a great education.
Greg Overmeyer of Citizens for UA Schools disagrees.
I don't know how you can possibly compare us with every other one of those schools. You can look at some of the data that they've provided, and it focuses on a few things that, you know, Arlington might not have. And what you really need to focus on, to me, is, hey, how are these kids getting prepared for college, and what experiences are they having? The reality is that, you know, throughout the U.S. News and World Report had showed that Westerville schools had some high schools that were ranked better. Well, our ACT scores are better, our SAT scores are better. We had a National Merit Scholars. We had over twice as many, and we're not as big of a high school. And so when colleges are coming to look at these sorts of school, when colleges are coming to look and see what kind of students they want, Arlington makes their short list every time.
Furthermore, Greg Overmeyer explains why he is willing to pay higher taxes to get the levy passed.
Nobody enjoys paying more taxes, absolutely. But when you step back and you look at Upper Arlington's taxes and the basis we have per 100,000, and you compare it with, you know, you can go right around 270. You've got Hilliard, we pay less than Dublin, Westerville, you got New Albany, Bexley. We're paying less than all of those. And so at some point, you can't cut your way into excellence. And so it requires money. And if we can still do it and keep it below those parameters, I don't know how people can complain.
Students are the ones who will be directly affected by the levy along with the taxpayers. But confusion persists among students because they are either unaware or unsure about the levy.
However, some students would like the levy to pass.
Well, I think that it should pass, obviously, because our classes would obviously be huge, and I don't know how, like, people would work in huge classes, knowing that there's a lot of people that need, like, that one-on-one time with the teachers.
However, there are some students that don't want the levy to pass.
I don't support the levy because, as I've seen through research I've done my own and also through an organization called Educate UA, that the budget gap, the downfall, is only $700,000, yet the school's asking for $6.2 million. So I think that they're asking for way more than they actually need.
However, students aren't the only ones directly affected by the levy.
We talked to Ashley Bossert, a former Windermere fourth grade teacher who was let go after the levy's failure.
From the point of view of a teacher who lost their job, how do you think the levy as of last year has affected Upper Arlington City Schools and its students?
I think it's made a big impact on first and second year teachers, especially me being a second year teacher last year and the levy did not pass. It directly affected my job within the district. And it was a pretty discouraging thing because it was not based on my performance as an educator or as a teacher, but just the cuts that had to be made because of the failure of the levy. I also think that it's affected students because, you know, there were teachers that were lost and certain support staff positions that are no longer available to students, such as teaching assistants and other type support staff that help students who may need a little extra or something that was provided to them and now no longer is.
Many students were also disappointed that many young teachers were fired.
How did you feel when the levy failed?
I really questioned it because I don't understand why they would fire people that will go on and will be able to teach.
I was upset that, like, young teachers got fired because they were, like, young and had new ideas to bring to the classroom.
Both sides hope that their message gets across to the voters.
Joyce Blake says,
we're all in this for the same reason. We all want the best. We want the best for the students, and we want the best for the families. No matter what happens, I taught, needless to say, for a long time, and there were levies that passed and levies that failed. Arlington, the school district, is great. It's going to be excellent.
Greg Overmeyer of UA School says,
the reality is that last year the levy didn't pass. And we, because of that, we had to cut 30 teachers. And there was, and figure out a budget that we can move forward with. But if the levy doesn't pass this time, cutting another 68.5 faculty is going to be devastating to us. And so what sort of community do we want to live in? I mean, I want to live in Upper Arlington where academic excellence means a lot. And that's what makes our one of the
great things about our community is our school system, and I don't want that to begin to deteriorate. So if we cut 68.5 and then the levy doesn't pass the next year or the year after that, and we have to continue to cut and continue to cut, this community is going to be in a lot of trouble. And so what happens?
Both sides are working hard to reach out to the voters, because ultimately it's the voters who will decide the fate of the UA levy. For Kushagra Mahaseth, Joe Casagrande, and Wyatt Lemon, this is Doug Bannon.
Thank you very much, Joe, Doug, Wyatt, and Kushagra. And tomorrow is Election Day. Make sure you vote across Central Ohio, the state of Ohio, or across the United States. I'm sure there is an important election near you, so do get involved and do vote. It is important to get involved and vote. And that's going to wrap up things for Youth Beat Radio tonight on this Monday evening. I'd like to thank you for being with us tonight here on Youth Beat Radio on 98.3 and 102.1 FM, WCRS, Community Radio for Columbus. You can find us online at youthbeat.osu.edu and like us on Facebook at Youth Beat Radio. We're always on the air Monday evenings at 7:30 p.m. I'm Nishant Makija. For all of us at Youth Beat Radio, have a wonderful evening and good night. Youth Beat Radio is produced by youth from Central Ohio high schools, youth groups, and universities. The show is supported by the School of Environment and Natural Resources at The Ohio State University, Ohio State University Extension, Puffin Foundation West, and local sponsors. The ideas expressed on tonight's program are not necessarily those of the station or the sponsors.